The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Here it is. Start of Thanksgiving week. Monday, the 25th of November, we're at 43 degrees. We'll actually start drying out a little bit later this week. So a little bit of the bomb cyclone finally getting out of our world here. And travel should be relatively easy in that respect as far as the weather is concerned, you know, around here. But as far as the crowds, supposedly kind of big. You know, I normally end up doing a pilgrimage every Black Friday. I would tend to go in and go out and do a whole bunch of shopping. Usually a lot of smalls and things like that. But, you know, since they're doing Black Friday shopping, they're putting out the deals, Halloween, right? Isn't that when the Black Friday deals start showing up? Halloween, they keep saying, like, you know, Black Friday prices right now. I don't know. Does it make sense anymore? Is there anything out there worth getting up early on a Friday morning? For once out of the last 20, 25 years or so I've been here in Southern Oregon, I don't know if I'm going to go out. I don't know if I'm going to go out other than maybe taking some of the gift cards and spending them. We'll just see. We'll just see about that. Interesting weekend as far as the unhinged. We'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. Well, there's nothing wrong with talking a little bit about that right now because this ad broke on Friday. Now, it's just having fun at the left's expense. But there is such a truth, such a truth bomb that came out in this one. Yeah, don't cry, cryo.
Are you distraught after the recent presidential election? Here at Don't Cry Cryo, we understand your pain, and we're here to help. Our expert team of cryogenic care providers can cryogenically freeze you until the Trump presidency has ended. No more crying, no more anxiety attacks, just blissful sleep until Trump is gone. When you awaken from your slumber, we'll even have a party ready and waiting for you. It will be like his presidency never even happened. It was all just a bad dream. As an added bonus, you can choose the Vance add-on package. We'll extend your sleep for an additional 4 years at a 50% discount in the event J.D. Vance wins the next presidential election. Everything will be okay. We're here to take care of you in your time of need. So remember, don't cry. Cryo.
And then she's unfrozen in 2033.
Where am I? Oh, please tell me it's over. Wait, something isn't right.
This is your captain, Elon Musk. I want to be the first one to welcome you to Mars.
No!
Sorry, Donald Trump Jr. was just elected president, and he deported all Don't Cry Cryo customers to Mars.
What the...
Don't Cry Cryo. Newsy put that out on Friday. One of the funniest things. I have it up on my Facebook page, on the Bill Myers Show Facebook page. Facebook.com/Bill Myers Show. Very funny. If you're needing a good laugh and you need to try to get away from the unhinged...
I'm sorry! No! 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 Why? 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 Do you really hate me that bad?
Yeah, there's a lot of that still going on. Although there hasn't been a lot of the talk of the resistance. I think they've even been a little exhausted post-election. I read a piece in Fox News that I think actually did a better job of explaining what's going on than anything else, and I'll share that here coming up. This is the Bill Myers Show, 6:15.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9, The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
And we appreciate you being here 17 minutes after 6. It's not early in the UK. It's actually early afternoon where Kurt Hopkins is slaving away in front of a hot computer and phone. Kurt Hopkins is the CEO of MCQ Markets. Good afternoon, Kurt. Great to have you on. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. It's great being here. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Kurt, wanted to talk with you about another story that in Woke America that broke late last week, and it has to do with the way the car company Jaguar, this storied, at least historic, British brand, but this sports car is now, has kind of gone all in on the LGBTQ plus 2A, however many, acronyms there are in this now. And I watched the ad over the weekend, and I couldn't really believe what I saw. It seemed to be like something out of a bad dystopic novel. But as a marketing guy, what is your overall impression of what Jaguar is trying to do to reignite sales? I know it's been a problem for them for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, if their intention was to get attention, well, they've certainly been successful with that.
Yeah.
But I would say It is really puzzling, and I think the only really charitable thing I can say about it is that they are doing their big launch of their new electric vehicle, which is supposed to be really interesting design, on the 2nd of December. So, basically a week from today. And so that's going to be in Miami, right around Art Basel Miami Beach. So let's see what they come out with. But I think it is certainly very questionable. And from the industry insiders I've been speaking to here in the UK, I just don't think it's going to be a sustainable refresh of their brand, because it's just not something that appeals to their core audience. And they're getting, obviously, lots of negative press here in the UK as well.
Oh, so in the UK, they're looking askance at that. That's interesting. On top of it, though, it seems that could there be a worse time to be out there trying to launch an electric vehicle than right now? I can't think of one. What about you?
Yeah, this is a challenge, I think, for Jaguar. And of course, your listeners may not know, but Jaguar is owned by Land Rover. So it's called Jaguar Land Rover is the company, and it's owned by a very large Indian industrial group called Tata, who've been investors in the UK for decades, very successful. And their high-profile CEO, who really was a titan of the industry, Ratan Tata, he passed away about 7 weeks ago. And he, by no means was a progressive, cutting-edge person. He was very, very impressive businessman. And I've been told that he used to approve all designs of new cars until recently. And I think now that he's passed, some of the much more creative types have taken the opportunity to push the boundaries. And, you know, clearly it's gone too far and they're getting lots of negative press. But let's see what they turn out with on the second and what the big reveal is. But I suspect it will be more of the same and they will have to backtrack because their core audience and their core customer base is quite a conservative, traditional kind of person, you know, a traditional, you know, as one industry senior industry executive told me last week, it is, you know, people that are, you know, middle-aged and up and white, pale and stale. And he says, and I'm one of them. And, you know, you want to be able to get into a nice, comfortable car and not have to worry about stretching your identity too much. So yeah, I think this is really a significant misstep from them. And unless it's some, you know, 3D chess, then I think it's probably something they're going to have to roll back from, you know, quite quickly in the coming weeks.
Kurt Hopkins is the CEO of MCQ Markets. By the way, you originally came from Chicago, right? How did you end up over in the UK?
Yes, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, just work. I've been here for a while. And I first came over here with work, but I'm back and forth all the time and every month. But it's really an honor to be able to, you know, operate, you know, in the U.S. as well as outside. And I really enjoy that. And especially it's great for what we're doing with our company and MCQ Markets, because we're all about, you know, providing a platform for people to be able to invest in iconic automobiles. And so people can do that on both sides of the pond here.
So when you talk about investing in iconic automobiles, are you talking about new ones or are you talking about saving the classics? I know that there are companies that do a bit of that too. What is that all about?
Yeah, we are more into the classics, but we may do some new ones. But we're talking about cars that are collector items, so they're collectibles. And so these are cars that would be worth $500,000 and up.
Wow.
And obviously there are a few people out there that can collect these cars. So there's not many people out there that can cut a check for $500,000. But what we're doing is we have a platform so that people can buy a part of one of those cars, a piece of one of those cars, and effectively a share in them. So instead of cutting a $500,000 check, you just need to cut a $500 check in order to invest. And so our platform is launching in Miami as well, just a few days after this Jaguar launch. But we, I must say, have more traditional, you know, nice gas-guzzling, naturally aspirated cars that we'll be doing. Our first car up on our platform is something you may really enjoy. It's something I grew up with as a kid. It was on Miami Vice, a 1986 Lamborghini Countach.
Lamborghini Countach. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. With the beautiful doors that swing up and a lovely red interior with white paint. So it's an absolutely beautiful car. And it's been fully restored, and that's going to be our first car on our platform.
So is this is your platform then kind of in reaction to what's been going on in the art world where people are now – it's almost like there's you can invest in just about anything these days here, Kurt. I know you can invest in fine art. You can own a piece of artwork, and I guess we're just taking the artwork over to the automotive world. Is that what MCQ is doing here?
Absolutely. So it's very similar to what people have been doing in the art space, where you can invest in, you know, really expensive pieces of art. And this and what we're doing is very similar with cars and other motorsport related collectibles and entities. So we're going to be having these amazing cars. We're starting with the Lamborghini, then we have a Ferrari, then we have a boy racer car called a Lexus LFA, which is only 500 in the world that we'll be putting on a platform. So we really have something for all types. And then we will be having, you know, dozens more cars that we'll be introducing on the platform in 2025. So it should be really exciting for people that like to be able to make money in things they really enjoy. And historically, the collector car investments have paid a 10 to 15% return, which, you know, may beat the S&P 500. You never know. But there can be quite good returns, and it can be quite diversified for one's portfolio. So if people are interested, you know, I do encourage them to go check out our offering documents that are on our website at mcqmarkets.com.
Okay, that's real. I'm fascinated by this because I think all of us at some point, you know, we look back to our childhood And we tend to focus on a lot of the cars that we grew up with. Those are the ones that we couldn't afford to have when we were a teenager, let's say. What ones, are there any cars today that you would think, Kurt, would be the collectible of the future? Things which may be kind of underappreciated right now. Any thoughts on that? Just kind of curious if you go there.
Yeah, so this is where it's really interesting, because as we're starting to see more millennials get involved in the collector car market, we're seeing taste change. So obviously the guys that are boomers or the ones that are older than boomers are not collecting as much as they used to. And so the cars they grew up may be different than the cars that people, you know, want to see now. But that's why, you know, why we have the Lexus LFA going on our platform, which is, a car that originally came out from Toyota. There's only 500 of them made. They lost tons of money on it. And these things were sold for $300,000 to start with. And the dealers couldn't sell them. But there are only 500 that were made. And now these cars are collector items, and they're going for $900,000 and up.
So quite often the collectible of the future is the failure of the present. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, exactly. And especially a car that's been over-engineered, a car that's just on cutting edge from an engineering and design standpoint. Down the road, people really do look back at it and really respect that, even though it was a failure from a commercial launch standpoint, from a racing and from a track perspective, it's an amazing car.
Okay, what do you think the odds are my 2010 PT Cruiser from Chrysler will be a collector's item someday?
Well, that one is, I suspect that is a very elite, taste that you have there. I'm not entirely sure that's going to go for $500,000 and up, but, all cars can be collectibles, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They are obviously an iconic design, weren't they?
All right, now, Kurt, over at MCQ Market, markets once again. What is your holy grail? It sounds like you're going to have some great stuff that you're going to be auctioning off for the collectors, but what is your holy grail that you would love to get into the stable at some point? Like maybe what's the most expensive car ever auctioned? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the Ferrari 250 GTO, right? That apparently went up for $70 million, I believe.
Yikes.
I think those are probably a bit overvalued right now. I mean, what I would love to have on the platform, Ferrari's just coming out with a brand new car called the F80, and they are absolute gold dust, and we would love to get that on our platform, and they go for retail for $3.5 million right now. But only certain people are allowed to buy them, and there's not many that are exchanging hands, but I suspect in the next year there might be a couple, and we may be able to get one on our platform. It'd be great to have.
Hey, before you take off, what is probably the most underappreciated car out there that you think is an up-and-comer in the collectible world? Any ideas?
There's so many cars out there, but I think if you look at your classic, Ferraris, and we have a Boxer 8512 coming on our platform that I think are probably undervalued right now by a couple $100,000. So I think there's going to be some appreciation on those in the coming years.
What about the current crop of cars, let's say over the last 20 to 30 years? There hasn't been a lot of personality in those vehicles as contrasted with like the Countach that you have up there right now. Mm-hmm. Is kind of the era of the future collectible car probably not all that big when you look at it? Because even the car culture is not the same today as it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, certainly that's changing. And, the whole electric hybrid era has part to play in that. But if you look at what's coming out with the hypercars and the supercars, there are some just phenomenal, mind-blowing cars that are being introduced, right, by the Lamborghinis, Ferraris of the world. So these highly specialized manufacturers are doing things that are very, very interesting. They're highly collectible, and there's specialist manufacturing that's coming out as well with, very limited edition cars. So I think your normal consumer car, ones that you would go to the lot and just buy off the lot, are not going to be, that attractive because they're not cutting edge from a design or from a engineering standpoint. But if we look at what's going on with some of the very high-end Porsches or Lamborghinis or Ferraris, then I think you see some very interesting cars that have a lot of interest in the marketplace, and they will continue to be iconic.
Yeah, but the odds that the electric Jaguar is going to make it, I don't know. We'll see. We'll just have to.
Yeah, and you know, here's the other thing is that car is not even be available for purchase until the end of 2026. So we're 2 years away from it. So, you know, I suspect that this brand will change again and it'll go back to something more traditional.
You know, it just seems to me that you want a Jaguar. There's a certain sound. There's a certain experience, I think, that you're expecting. I don't know if people want to drive Jaguar devices, you know, devices rather than cars, as it were. You know what I'm getting at?
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, electric vehicles have their place, but they are not something that you would pick for the love of a car.
All right.
With the sound, the smell, the feeling, much different.
MCQ Markets. I'll put all your information up there. I want to see what's going on. I'm going to keep an eye on what you're doing over there, because being able to invest in some of these amazing classic cars, especially with future classics probably going to be fewer and farther in between, I think it's going to be an interesting investment model that you're working on there too. Kurt, a pleasure. Thanks for joining us from the UK. And when you stop back states, if you're ever out in the Ashland, Medford area, drop by, okay? We'll talk with you then.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Kurt. Kurt Hopkins, the CEO of MCQ Markets. It is 6:31. You're on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has declared a drought emergency for Harney County. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, the county's been in moderate drought since early July, and conditions exist for long-term drought. The declaration allows the state to use several drought-related emergency tools, including assistance for local water users. The U.S. Department of Congress has approved $100 million in digital equity grants to seven states, including $10 million for Oregon. It'll be used to implement the state's digital equity plans. That includes online safety and privacy trainings to teach cybersecurity skills like when to open or not open attachments from a Nigerian prince. Five cities in Oregon made the top 15 best small towns for retirees based on a look around the Northwest compiled by the website Home Stratosphere. Ashland came in first for its access to the arts and nature and the cost of housing. Florence on the coast is 10th. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Record holiday travel expected as Americans head out for Thanksgiving. AAA expects 80 million people to travel at least 50 miles from home. The weather, though, could complicate things both in the East and on the West Coast. President-elect Trump has filled his cabinet, choosing those he'd like to have on his team. Now attention focuses on the Senate and confirmation hearings. A California judge could decide today whether new evidence warrants a reexamination of the convictions of Eric and Lyle Menendez, murders of their parents in their Beverly Hills home more than 30 years ago. The United Arab Emirates reporting the arrest of three Uzbek nationals, the killing of an Israeli rabbi, and at least one fatality reported in the crash of a DHL cargo plane in the capital of Lithuania. Stocks opening higher this morning on Wall Street. More details at srnnews.com.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to health care. Over the last 10 years, health care costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising health care costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
There's been a crew of roofers out there for nearly three decades.
28 years to be exact, son.
Their mission? to terminate old roofs and replace them with bold, enduring new ones.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
Their purpose? To prevent structural chaos and decimation.
I don't care if we're running out of roofing nails. Find some!
Their experience follows them everywhere. A constant, like a shadow.
We're going to need continuous flashing on that ridge. That's not negotiable.
This season, Mother Nature is upping the ante, and Fontana Roofing will see that and go all in.
Hold the line. Hold the line. Wait for it. Wait. Ladders up! Go, go, go!
The Fontana Roofing team stands between you and the gathering storm.
Ooh-wee! I love the smell of bent metal in the morning.
Your personal journey of epic building security starts at FontanaRoofingServices.com. Whether you've had your car for a few months or many years, most people take pride in their vehicles and take good care of them. So when an accident happens, Lithia Body and Paint knows you want it back on the road fast, looking better than ever. Since 1946, Lithia Body and Paint has been putting minor dings and major collisions in the rearview mirror. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint. Repair so good, it's like it never happened. Find them on Bullock Road just off Crater Lake Highway in Medford. Lithia Body and Paint.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
636. It was interesting talking with Kurt from MCQ, company that is now investing, I guess, in automotive art, as a way is. You know, there's another way of looking at this that, you know, when we see everybody, like, you can buy a piece of a classic sports car of one form or another. It's an interesting way to invest, but it also, I think, may be indicative of the hunt for return someplace right now in inflationary times. And, you know, part of that everything bubble right now. I don't know. You know, it might work out really well, but how interesting to say, hey, you know, I have a piece of a Ferrari. Well, I own a Ferrari. Yeah, I own a Ferrari. Yeah, you can use that as a pickup line, right? Yeah, I own a piece of it, like a tiny percentage of that $500,000 car. I don't know. But I thought that's interesting, though, especially with Jaguar. Jaguar committing suicide. So we could talk about that if you wanted to or something else on your mind. But one question that is non-political that I would toss out to you. What car today do you think is a future collectible, maybe underappreciated? Everything that Kurt was talking about were more of the exotics. Of the vehicles today that you see out on the road, which ones do you think 20, 25 years down the road? Maybe we don't care all that much about them right now, but 20, 25 years, it'll be considered something special. If I had to take a guess on that, it would be the Dodge Charger. The Dodge Charger, the Dodge Hemi, the new modern iteration of it. And I know those cars, for the most part, are just beaten to death by the current owners. Right? Because you don't go out there and you don't buy a Dodge Charger, Challenger, whatever it is, the modern iteration or the Hellcat, let's say, with the 800 something horsepower. You don't buy that so that you can just drive it. You know, for the most part, when the people drive them, they really drive them. You really see them pushed hard out there. So the odds that a lot of these are going to make it down the road or will survive, maybe kind of low. I think in the future, I believe that the Dodge Charger will be something that, man, I had one of those. I just beat the daylights out of it, and then I just junked it and sold it off once I blew the engine up. I think that'll be appreciated someday, maybe as a museum piece, assuming that you can still get the permission to put gasoline in that. All right. Speaking of the gasoline and the strip and the streets and everything else, one of the most interesting stories over the weekend, in what was otherwise a light news weekend here in Southern Oregon, Medford's Main Street may get a redo of its controversial bike lane stripes. Huh. Andy Atkinson writing in the Rogue Valley Times this morning. The days may be numbered for Medford's restriping project that created such a stir among Main Street. Yeah, because it wasn't all that smart of a thing to do. It had nothing to do with what people wanted. It had something to do with what the state of Oregon wanted, or maybe the feds. I don't know. Anyway, John Vial has a quote there. The Medford Public Works Director, John Vial, says, as soon as we installed it, everyone had an opinion.
City Council had a study session last week, gave direction to figure out other ways to make Main Street more acceptable to the community while continuing to encouraging cycling. So this is all about, the Spandex Mafia, sucking up to the Spandex Mafia and all the grant stream funding, Bullstein, all the grease that is available to service the Spandex Mafia. And by the way, I have nothing against the Spandex Mafia, even though I tend to refer to them as the Spandex Mafia, like Lars does too. Something tells me, though, that given that, from what I have on good authority, that a couple of the planners who work in the city of Medford, maybe they're ones that aren't there now, I don't know, but a couple of them bicycle to work all the time. So this is a big thing for them. I'm sure that they look at this as something to really be happy. Well, anyway, the last year, the city restriped Main Street from just east of Bear Creek to Oakdale Avenue, creating a dedicated bike lane and reducing the number of travel lanes from 3 to 2. So in other words, they reduced the number of lanes for vehicles that actually take lots and lots of people, and they took a full lane of it and gave it to a form of transportation which does not move a lot of people. Vehicles still park on both sides of the street, but you got those weird bollards and all the rest of it. Now, to change the street at this point, which the city council is thinking about, could cost more than expected. The city paid $515,000 for that monstrosity of a restriping project in downtown Medford. But most of that money, $475,000 of it, came from a state grant for bike and pedestrian projects. So if we change the bike stripes, apparently, we'd have to come up with the $475,000. We'd have to repay the state. If you live in the city of Medford, or even if you don't, do you think it's worth it? Should the city cough up the $475,000 and then put the stripes back to where they were, or put it back to something more reasonable, get rid of the bollards, all that kind of stuff? It really is confusing. And people don't quite get it. And like I've said, people now tell me they don't want to go into downtown Medford because of the bike and pedestrian friendly project, right? Do we really need something like this in the first place? Do we need dedicated bike lanes in downtown Medford? I think it's a serious question worth having because the city of Medford is in the process. They've already taken the speed limit down to, 20 miles per hour in a lot of that business area downtown. It's very slow stop-and-go travel. Do we really need a dedicated bike lane? What would you say to that? Dedicated bike lane or not? Should we spend the $475,000 and pay back the state and then regain some of our own control of our lives here? It's a lot of money, almost $500,000. But I have to tell you, there's a part of me that would be so proud of the city of Medford if they just regained some control of our transportation system here, rather than doing everything about dancing to the tune of these evil urban planners that trained at planning.org, that think that the way people want to get around is evil, and we're here to give you what you didn't ask for, good and hard. Be happy to take your calls on that and anything else on your mind, too. 770-563-3770-KMED. It cost us almost $500,000 to redo the stripes downtown. Should we do it anyway? Almost in some ways to put a finger in the eye of the gangrene lobby. What do you think? We could talk about that. Another interesting story that I think we're going to be hearing more of, I was looking on Ashland.news this morning. Cuts are coming. School district has to find $2.2 million in savings before the budget year ends June 30th. This is the Ashland School District. After years of increasing staffing, even as enrollment declined, so they hired more people in the Ashland School District, even as the students' number of students went down. Ashland School District needs to reduce its 2024-2025 fiscal year budget by more than $2 million by the middle of next year. This is according to a review by a statewide education official. Superintendent Joseph Hattrick is asking staff and the public to weigh in on a district plan on how they want to move forward with the cuts. So they're going to have to do cuts. This is a trending topic here. It's something I think we need to be keeping an eye on. Grant School District number 3. I was reading this in the Elkhorn Media Group. There was a story on that website a couple of weeks ago. Grant School District number 3 is like many other school districts around the state who have received news that the PERS rate will dramatically increase from the current year to the next year. Increases due to multiple factors, including poor performance of PER investments and all sorts of other salary assumptions, and that the PERS site account that was created by the Grant School District Board of Directors through bonding and refinance in 2012 just isn't doing. It's not paying enough. And so they're going to have to actually reduce teachers in Grant County. That's a rural county, Grant County, because of the increase in PERS. And I would imagine that some of what's going on in the Ashland School District is also part of that, too. 646 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to faucet. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to faucet. Serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at siskiyoupump.com.
The Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is online. To find out who won gold and silver medals in over 200 categories, visit the website and flip through the magazine online. You can also sort by category and learn about Southern Oregon's best, such as Dustin Curbs, Valley View Nursery, Tara Millen Law, Kennedy Fuel, and Harley Nielsen Construction. Congratulations to all the award winners from Bicoastal Media, publishers of the Best of Southern Oregon magazine. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So, when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
And you can wake up and grab your phone, 770-5633. State Representative Dwayne Junker joins me after 7 o'clock this morning. He is calling to repeal the climate action things that have been going on, that are raising the price of fuel and various other things. We'll talk with him about that. Put a release out just this morning. I've been talking this morning about Medford's Main Street may get restriped again after that horrendous stripe job. And that stripe job was paid for mostly by a state grant, which means that we the people paid the state of Oregon, and then the state of Oregon paid the city of Medford to destroy the downtown streets. But they destroyed the downtown streets at state cost. So do we need a dedicated bicycle lane? The speed limits are now 20 miles per hour in these areas. Bicycles have no problem keeping up with it. Why would we need to be restriping the streets specifically, unless the real goal from the state of Oregon paying us $475,000 and the city council going, give me the grant stream funding, give me the grant stream funding, right? Give that to me. The main purpose being, though, to reduce the number of vehicles in downtown Medford. Isn't that really what it is? Because you rarely see a bicyclist on that dedicated bicycle lane. And yet those dedicated bicycle lanes took up one-third of the traffic lanes. What a great way. What a great way to reduce the number of people going downtown or wanting to go downtown. I could be wrong about that, but why do we even need one? 20 miles per hour, they've already slowed you down to practically nothing. 20 miles an hour is not that big of a deal in a bicycle. Just isn't. Let me go to Deplorable Patrick. DP, how are you doing this morning? What are you thinking, huh?
This morning I'm doing all right. I'm just trying to get with it here and conversation about bicycles and stuff. And if you can remember a while back, I was telling you about trying to get on a city bus with a 4x8 sheet of plywood in hand. And that just wasn't working so well. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to really get with it here, figure out a way to carry a sheet of plywood on my bicycle. Well, I came up with an ingenious idea.
Okay, now, are you serious? I don't remember this story. You actually did this at one point? Seriously?
In my, no, it's part of my Bill Myers Show act.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just thinking about you trying to get on a RVTD bus, you know, with a sheet of plywood. I'd love that. But, of course, that's where we're supposed to go. That is the perfect climate-friendly, equitable community way of living. You know that. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. See, you have to experiment around to get to the best way of living and complying with all the liberal ideas. And so I thought, well, the best thing is to figure out a way to do it on a bicycle, carry a 4x8 sheet of plywood on a bicycle.
Okay.
And so I came up with putting on one corner an attachment to the bicycle, and then on the other back corner you have a set of dolly wheels, so you can take this thing behind you on a bicycle, and it goes along. It's like a big tail fin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get that. Yeah, that's how they want us living in the future, I'm sure. Yeah. All right.
So that's right. The future is everything, and I'm going along on this thing. I'm doing great because, you know, tail fins are great. Until I got a big crosswind.
Oh, then you got trouble.
Down in the ditch with the litter and the blackberries, and I thought, well, time to go back to the drawing board on this. And I thought maybe you might have some ideas.
I do. I have a great idea for you to take a 4x8 sheet of plywood on a bicycle. What you do is fashion a hitch and steal one of those lumber carts over at Lowe's or Home Depot. You know, the ones that has like the three slots in it, right?
Get more stability.
Yeah, exactly. More. Now, it's kind of heavy, but, you know, if you're a bicyclist, you got heavy, you have heavy-duty thighs. You won't have any problem with it. You just steal the 300. It's probably a 300-pound cart, wouldn't you say? 300-pound cart?
Yeah, but you got to get the exercise in there, too, so that's not a hell of a good idea.
That's right. So you steal the cart from Home Depot or Lowe's, and then you put that in there, and you slide it in there. And even if there is a side wind, it will not tip over the 300-400-pound cart, okay?
You would notice it, but it wouldn't put you in the ditch with the blackberries.
That's right. Now, you would need to beef up the brakes, though, on your stolen bicycle, okay?
I'm writing this down.
Okay. Yeah, because you understand that most of the bicycle bumdom that you see in downtown Medford, you know darn well that many of those bicycles have been stolen. That's just the way it is. Okay.
I thought they were all that way.
It could be. So there you go. I'm glad you've been very creative. Think about that and get back to me, okay? All right?
Yeah, you keep thinking about it too, please.
All right. Hey, by the way, before you take off, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Anything special in particular?
Probably going to get with my daughter and her friends and just enjoy the heck out of it. Got some turkey noodle soup going on.
Good. Now, the other thing I had, though, do you have any political problems within your family that you have to stay clear of this Thanksgiving?
I'm very sensitive about it, and I try to do it in a way to show them how they're benefiting. Just the liberals they won, you know, last on the 5th. The liberals won, whether they wanted to or not, because they're going to live in a better country and a better world in spite of themselves. So,
I love the way you think about that. Part of me wants to call up my liberal sister Diana and just want to call her up and go, but I won't do that. I'll hold off. Okay. I'm just resisting.
Just ask her to log down every time that something Trump does hurts her and see what she comes up with.
That's right. Thanks, DP. Appreciate the call. Dave Siri. Dave, welcome. What's on your mind, huh?
Yeah, I just heard that the city of Oakland may be going bankrupt. And you know what that does to PERS? If a city or school district goes bankrupt, they get 10 cents on the dollar on their pension, if they're lucky.
Hmm. Something tells me, though, that when it comes to the public employee retirement system, they will be made whole because, you know,
no,
why?
You
want to know why they're going to be made whole or not going to be made to cut their pension? You want to know why? You're not.
Why?
Okay. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars going into Oregon politicians to keep that going.
Yeah, but they do bankruptcy through federal court, and because there's other cities that went bankrupt, and retired employees got stripped, and they got 10 cents on the dollar on their pension because it goes over to the
You're talking about CalPERS, though. You're talking about CalPERS, right? That's where it happened. Happened in California. In Oregon, the unions own the state government. They will make sure that everybody in Oregon raises their own taxes. They'll raise taxes on Oregonians to bail out PERS. You watch, okay?
Feds will take it away.
Okay. All right. You can sit there and deny political reality, Dave, all you want. All right. Let me go to line four. Hi. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Bill, it's Jerry.
Jerry, how you doing this morning? Welcome.
I'm doing fine, thank you.
So is Jerry the Bull doing? What's on his mind?
Well, I was just listening to you and Patrick, and, you know, we don't have a big enough downtown to do this, but what came to my mind is, you know, just the rent-a-bike. Instead of driving downtown, everybody could boycott it, and somebody could start a little bike business and cycle people around downtown Medford.
But like a little rickshaw type of thing?
Exactly. Huh. And hey, guess what? You know, we wouldn't have any parking problems. People would be getting exercise, getting out in the fresh air. Might not work too good this time of the year. But
That's just it. They wanted to design a transportation system that will only, I mean, those bike lanes for the most part are arguably used mostly in the summer, mostly in the summertime. Wouldn't you agree on that?
Well, yes, I would. And I'm not down there all the time. Sometimes I'm down there for my work making deliveries, but I hardly ever see anybody use the bike lane.
I know. They don't. No. And the thought that the city of Medford took $475,000 in grant stream funding to make those monstrosity bike lanes there. Do you think that they should just dig deep and cough up to pay them back so that we can do what we want there? What do you think? If you were on the city council.
Well, that would be my hope, Bill. But, you know, what struck me about that comment and that reality is that, you know, it's like a little kid who's 15 or 16 years old and mom or dad bought him a pair of shoes and they're brand new and he wears them a couple times and sort of throws them away and says, yeah, you know, I really don't like them. That sort of strikes me as what the city's doing with that.
But it's also an interesting study to see how cheaply we sell our soul here when you're on a city council in any city. Not just Medford. I'm just picking on Medford because Medford's openly talking about it. You lose control of your own destiny when you take the free money. And I'll always remember a number of years ago that Clay Berenson came into the studio back when city council members would come on the show more often.
Right.
And I was talking about the grant stream funding problem here. And that there are always strings with it, just like there were strings with this $500,000 coming from the state on the striping. Oh, we'll give you money to help fix downtown streets, but you know, you have to put in bike lanes, which of course nobody really wants except the spandex mafia. And I said, and I was talking to Clay about it, and I said, just don't take the money. Don't take the money, Clay. And he looked at me like I had three heads, like he just like I was some mutant that was by him. Don't take the money. And it's pretty simple. Don't take the money. And then we can do what we wish.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate the call there, Jerry the Bull. 770-5633, Shade Before 7. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Good morning, Bill. Is that me?
Yeah, it's you. How you doing, Tom? Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, are you going to have a microbiotic vegan turkey tofurkey or something or so this Thursday? What are you going to have?
Oh, yeah, we're going to put one up on the hillside and then shoot with the AK-47.
Okay.
Hey, don't hold your breath on the Medford City Council. They're the dumbest city council I think I've ever come across in my life.
So why is that? Why do you think that?
If there's any way to make a bad decision, they'll come up with it.
Well, if there's any way to make a bad decision that has Grant Stream funding tied to it, I think that's the more proper way. It is an incredibly corrosive, corrupt way to bribe cities. Because all they're doing is bribing strapped city councils with this concept that there's a free lunch for you. You can fix your streets without having to charge Medford people any money for it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Well, it's all about global warming and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you have to look at the system. I mean, here, how can a country with a $36 trillion deficit be giving anybody Grant Stream funding? I mean, that's absurd.
When it comes to pushing the gangrene agenda, that's what it has been doing a lot of this. Look at what happened with the Inflation Reduction Act, which, of course, caused more inflation and causing tumult within the system. So you're right about that. We need to plead with these people and tell them, stop taking the Grant Stream money. You take the Grant Stream money, you're no longer running the city. The state of Oregon's running the city, or the federal government's running the city, right? I mean, that's what happens when you do this.
Of course it is. It's the way the system works now. And I wanted to ask you something else. Donald Jeffries was on your show a while back. And, mm-hmm. He is an expert on the J.F. Kennedy assassination murder by our CIA and government at that time. And we just had the 61st anniversary, November 22nd, of that. I think it'd be good to bring him on and have him explain why that assassination is so relevant today, because I do believe that here we are on the brink of World War III, and it's because we never really went in and solved that whole murder and really got the truth to it. So we've been captured by this ruling oligarchy since that time.
We're a government under occupation since the JFK assassination.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting point, and I think you have a great point. And I'll reach out to him because I spent a lot of time this weekend reading his latest book, which is entitled American Memory Hole, and it goes down all the various aspects, including JFK and much more, of the revisionist history that they really don't want you knowing. And even though it's a few days past JFK, maybe we can do that next week. I don't think I'll get him on this week, but probably next week. Okay? I'll do that.
Okay. Sounds
all right?
good.
All right. And he's definitely the Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest of Conspiracy Theory Thursday guests. All right? By the way, I'm going to have a Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest on Monday today, coming up at 8:10. Joel Skousen of the World Affairs Brief joins me, and he says that you are being snowed and lied to about everything about Russia, Ukraine, China. And he also says that the Soviet Union was a fake fall. It's an interesting theory. I don't know if I quite buy it, but I'm willing to talk with him about it. But it's a great news brief. I do subscribe to that. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hi.
Hey, Bill. It's Wild Salmon.
Steve, how you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, I got an idea to solve this bike lane thing.
Okay.
Have you ever met John Vile?
Yes, I have.
He is an ample person, wouldn't you say?
He's a what now?
Ample.
Oh, ample. Yeah, well, like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think if he's going to make bike lanes all over, he should have to ride. Oh, he shouldn't have a car. He should have to ride a bicycle everywhere.
Huh. So all city staff, Medford city staff, all Medford city councilors, as you know, those who vote for such projects then should have to live their principles. Is that kind of where you're going?
Absolutely. Can you see that happening? I mean, I was at one of those meetings they had, the city government had, and here's John Vile with an orange vest on sitting up there. And I asked him about the striping on McAndrews, and he rolled his eyes like, oh, my God, somebody is so stupid to ask that question. Well, when they made McAndrews down to two lanes from four, they said, well, they could do it because they got this money to repave it.
The Grant Stream funding, yes.
Yeah, he said, well, they could take it back after 2 years. Well, this meeting we had this summer was 2 years, and mm-hmm. they could have restriped it, but he was just unbelievable, just how he acted about that.
Well, this is – now, I don't know John deeply personally. I haven't had a lot of conversation with him. And he's right. You know, you could restripe it. I have a feeling, though, that they think that McAndrews is a success story. I think they believe it's a success story. But what I've noticed, though, is that the amazing clots of traffic that come out of the stoplights at McAndrews and Crater Lake Avenue, because you end up having, you know, you'll have 30 cars that used to be split among two lanes, all kind of this one snake going up there. So if you're trying to get out on a side street, it's not going to happen because you can't, because, you know, I'm talking about during heavy traffic times. There's no way for you to get out, in my opinion.
No. Well, the traffic on Spring Street has doubled, and I think the traffic on Jackson has doubled.
People trying to bypass that, yeah.
Yeah. Why would you want it? When you try to get up there, when there's a lot of traffic, you're just, you know, and a lot of people aren't very polite, you know, so it's a problem. I don't know. They wouldn't say anything about how many accidents that caused. I asked about it, and they said they didn't have any information. They claim that the four lanes saves accidents because people turning cross. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're turning across traffic.
Well, you can really save accidents if you just make people avoid McAndrews. How about that?
Well, that's pretty much what they did.
I know. I thank you for the call, Wild Sam. And let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Good to have
you. This is John.
Hey, John. What do you think?
I haven't been back to Eugene, I don't think, since I got my BS idiot degree 50-some years ago. The architecture department back at that time was trying to redesign cities, mm-hmm. and that was their whole project. They had a design to turn Bear Creek into a gondola, Venetian tour, or city street.
Oh, kind of a, oh, all right. Yeah, well, make it a tourist attraction, huh?
Tourist attraction, because of the parks on the one side.
Yeah.
And the basement levels of the downtown would be like restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was that talk, I think, even back not that long ago about developing downtown by Bear Creek so that more of the businesses were facing the creek. I mean, you can understand that. That's kind of appealing in a certain way. But think about it this way, John. You could have all of those bums that are still hanging out around the city looking for work and just have them be gondola people.
Right. Yeah, they really still, I think they still have to clean up Bear Creek. but my question for you is, I understood that downtown Eugene was turned into a walking mall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was it, or do you know anything?
I never go to Eugene. I'm not a fan of Eugene. Never have been. So I couldn't tell you without doing a lookup. It would not surprise me that they have. That is the wet dream of progressive public planners to make sure that you have to walk everywhere downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. I took a jaunt to Europe at one point, and some of the big cities there were that way.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have your Lamborghinis parked on the back corners, and then everybody else was walking around the downtown.
Yeah, yeah. And that is a very European way of looking at the world. And, of course, Europe is going to hell. So why wouldn't we want to be like them, John?
That's my comment.
Thanks for the call. It's 9 minutes after 7. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. All right, we'll catch up with Town Hall News. I know I ran a little long on that segment. But speaking of the climate change malarkey, as the outgoing president would say, we have a state rep who is fighting the imposition of higher taxes. We'll talk with State Rep Dwayne Junker about that next.
Short.